my turn now. Don't you be laughing at him, Larry. You're just encouraging him. Don't laugh at him, Freddie. You're just encouraging him. We're looking at the last of the 21st chapter of Ezekiel, and we're going to get right into the 22nd chapter in just a few moments. This was the road which God has divinely appointed, and we'd already talk about that. The sword, the king of Babylon would travel. This is what's going to happen to them and to Judah. This time will be they will be taken. Talk about Judah and Jerusalem. And see by the invaders, and they're well qualified for this. That's the reason God's using them. And whether it be slain or made prisoners, they're going to definitely go. Their time has arrived, and they're going to be gone. The iniquity of Judah has forced not only from the king of Babylon, but the Lord himself was to remember their iniquity because of their constant a record of willful disobedience, they would fall into the hands of God of judgment. There's a small part, as it is in some of these, down here about the Messiah will finally come. I'm not going to deal with that. When we get down to the end of Ezekiel, we'll talk about that some. But that promise is there. And we have just a couple verses here, too, where everything which is deals with the Messianic kingdom of Israel has always pointed to. But I'm just going to, that's all I'm going to say about that. And we'll deal with that quite extensively the last couple chapters of the verse. I'm sorry. One thing we notice here at the end of the 21st chapter is Ammon will share in the same face as Jerusalem, fate as Jerusalem. The symbolic action performed by Ezekiel comes to an end here, and execution of judgment will shortly follow. And we've been talking about this several chapters. In the 22nd, 23rd chapter, we're going to wind down with that. God will judge Ammon in their own soul. And they could expect no mercy at the hands of the Babylonians. They're going to be annihilated. Judah would be carried to exile, but Ammon would be destroyed in the midst of their own land, as we see in the last part of the 21st chapter. For Ammon, this was no hope of restoration for them like it was Ezekiel portrays for Israel's future. They're not going to have no future. They're going to be gone after this judgment. Such was the final decree of the sovereign ruler of all nations, and that is God. When we get down to 21 and verse 32, that's what he says. This is how it's going to be. And when God says it, we can use the phrase, you can take it to the bank. You shall be fuel for the fire. Your blood shall be in the midst of the land. You shall not be remembered, for I, the Lord, has spoken. And verse 32 brings to the end of chapter 21. I left a few verses out because I want to get down to chapter 22. But chapter 22 starts us off. It's talking about the defilement of Israel. We come to the conclusion of a section that we've been dealing with. And that's the reason I don't mind just kind of skipping over with it, because we're going to deal with it again in the 22nd chapter, 23rd chapter, and we've dealt with it about the last eight chapter section of Ezekiel, which will begin back a few chapters. I don't know how far back, but we've been on the subject. God must destroy Jerusalem. And we're at the stage of right around the corner where it is. By means of parable and symbolic action, the prophet has underscored the defilement of the land of Israel in the past and in the present. Talking about Israel's past and present. The word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel said. And Ezekiel's giving it out in type of language that they understood, that he hopes that they understand. A sinful nation and a sad history. If we're a sinful nation like that, we can expect to have a sad history. In the 22nd chapter, verse 1 through 16, unless somebody's got something they want to look at what we talk about at this time, we're going to move on into that real quick so I can get done with the 22nd chapter. I had a lot of time, but the guy that made the announcement got up here and talked about 15 minutes and said nothing, and so that used up a lot of my time, but we'll move on. Okay, in the 22nd chapter, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, over and over and over, God tells Ezekiel, the prophet, what he wants his people to know. And you, son of man, will judge, and you will judge the bloody city. Then declare to her all her abomination. You shall say, thus saith the Lord God, a city that shed blood in her midst, so that her time has come. Judah and Jerusalem, your time is here. My patience is worn out with you. And you made idols and you have defiled yourself. The principal thing that brought the children of Israel down. And God said, it's time to take care of that. You have become guilty by the blood that you have shed. And he goes through the next, most of the chapter, listen, and we'll go through some of their sins that has brought this judgment on. He's aware of it, and he has brought it up. And defiled by the idols that you have made. They had trouble with idols all along, and you have brought your days near. You have done this, not me. I'm responding to you like you respond to me. The appointed time of your years has come. It's been delayed. I've been patient, but it's here. Therefore, I have made you a reproach to the nation and mockery to all the country. Those who are near and those who are far away, you will mock you. And your name is defiled. You are full of trouble. Instead of being a nation that would stand out of being God's people, they was right the opposite. Matter of fact, it was one of the worst one. Behold, the princes of Israel in you. Everyone according to his power has been bent on shedding blood. Why were they that away? Their leaders was that away. The prince and prophets was that away. Fathers and mothers are treated with contempt in you. The sojourner suffers extortion in your midst. It's all about me, my gain, what I want. The fathers and the widows are wrongfully in you. You have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbath. They were supposed to keep the Sabbath holy, and they didn't do that. You slander and to shed blood, and the people in you who eat on the mountains, they participate with all the other immoral feasts around and the countries around and everything. They committed lewdness in your midst. In your men uncover their father nakedness, and in you they violated women who are unclean in their menstruation impurity. And of course, we know that goes with the old law. One commits abomination with his neighbor's wife. This is a list of things that God is laying charges against them that has brought their time to him. Another lewdness defiles his neighbor, his daughter-in-law. And another in you violates his sister and his father's daughter. In you, they take the bribes to shed blood. You take interest and profit and make gain of your neighbor by extortion. But me you have, what? Forgotten. You wonder how people can do such things as this? Forget God? That's what he's saying here to me, declares the Lord. You have forgotten me. How can anybody be so low to do such sins? You have forgotten me. If we've forgotten the Lord, I can see that. Behold, I strike my hand at the dishonest gain that you have made, and at the blood that has been in your midst, in verse 13. Can you courage endure, or can you hands be strong in the day that I shall deal with you? No, they won't. I, the Lord, have spoken. Oh, I am speaking now through the prophet. I will do it. I will stretch, scatter you among the nations and despise you through the countries and disperse you through the countries. And I will consume your uncleanness out of you. That's the one reason why there is discipline, because he wished to cleanse them out of it. And we're going to have a lot more to say about this. And you shall be profaned by your own doing in the sight of the nation, and you shall know that I am the Lord. That's a hard lesson to learn, that who's doing this. So what we have here is they must inform the inhabitants of the changes, of the charges against them. He therefore lists for them some of their crimes. And some of them is pretty bad, and we wouldn't want those to be listed against them. Jerusalem was guilty of bloodshed, openly practiced in the midst of the city. Disregard for life. Somebody says, well, has things changed too much? Sounds like our society. Well, does a little bit. Haven't changed too much. Somebody says to me, let's see, how did they do this? They said, we know the devil is active because you can see the corruption of a society. But how about God? God is still active too. Yes. Right. We should never get to the point that we don't think God is active because of all the sin. I grant you the devil is active. But let me tell you something else too. God is too. God is still God. God is still in charge. God knows what's going on. They say, well, what can we do about it? Well, Timothy tells us that we should pray about it. Somebody asked me, is God in charge of this country? Does God discipline this country? Pray about it. Well, we know that Satan can pull down. What do? You pray for President Trump. I'm a Democrat. You pray for President Trump. I'm a Republican. You pray for Democrat President Trump. I don't care what you are. First Timothy tells us that. Not only do you pray for the leaders of the country, but you pray for the leaders of the church, of his kingdom. Pray for him. You say, well, I don't know if prayer's going to do it. You know, well, how bad do you think it'd be if we didn't pray? God said, pray for him. And that's what we should do. We should pray. I might not understand everything, but I pray, and I recognize that God is supreme being. It'd take a lifetime, and we still wouldn't get recognized when we say God is God. And we ought to develop our strength in him and understand a lot more. We do. God still operates through his word in conversion. That's the reason we have his word. His Holy Spirit operates through the word. The word convinced, and I have faith in it, and I believe that I've got to be responsible to the word. And and therefore it brings about my salvation through His grace, which is the Word, and my faith in that grace is my responsibility. Does it stop then? Well, it doesn't teach anything for us to do, His law or anything, but God is, for lack of words, providence care of His country, and we pray to God. I might not understand it, I might not recognize what He did, but we pray to God for all of this. Jerusalem was guilty of bloodshed openly practiced in the midst of the city. Disregard for, if it gets so bad next week that I'm afraid to go downtown Bowling Green because I'm going to lose my life, what do? I pray to God. And if I do lose my life, I'll make sure it's in harmony with Him. And He'll say, well done, good Charlie, you could come on up here to heaven with me. Oh, Abraham bosom, we'll wait for the judgment day. Don't never estimate that. I hate for when Christians tell me that evil is overtaking this world, the devil is overtaking this world. No, they're not. God is still here. And we need to act like it. God is here. God did not give us His word and just go off and say, well, I'll come back in about 4,000 years from now. Nope. Doesn't work that way. Not from the Bible I read, it doesn't. They made idols for themselves for ritual and moral defilement. They defiled the name and had a bad reputation. I was in the restaurant Monday. I went back. This has happened to me a couple of times. I went back. I think I kind of overheard. Not only I can't see good, I went to Walmart and had 3 pairs of glasses reworked Monday. And I'm doing a little bit better with 1 pair I got. But I went out and I heard somebody say something about reputation. I thought, that's it. I said, let me tell you. And I went back in and I said, let me tell you. About my own. They said, well, no, we weren't talking about you. I said, well, I thought if you was, I want to hear about it. Somebody needs to correct you. And I was set up down the bank. Matter of fact, I ran across him today. This guy was in there, and he knew me. I didn't know him. And he said, I overheard the name Dale Clark. And that got my attention. I said, no. Then I was kind of looking a bit, and then I overheard the name Tracy. I knew who he was talking about then, because that's my sister-in-law. So I went over to him, and he said, you know, they sold the drugstore, and they're selling drugs out of the car. I said, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. He looked at me kind of funny. He said, you know them? I said, I know them better than you do. And I said, you shouldn't be going around saying things like that. Well, he was setting me up. He was trying to get my attention. He knew who I was. I fell for it. I ate his lunch. There for the next 4 or 5 times I seen him, he never would speak to me. Today when I seen him, he said, I owe you lunch. And I said, yeah, you sure do. He said, have you ate breakfast already this morning? I said, yeah, I have. He said, well, I'm going to take your breakfast. I said, all right, but not this morning, not. I got things to do. So I told him, I said, you shouldn't be talking about something you don't know what you're talking about. I said, you don't know who you're talking about. Well, he knew he was trying to just get my goat. He got it. He knows he got it. They defiled their name and had bad reputation. We cannot have bad reputation. If we're in business, we can't have bad reputation. Leaders had abused their power. We can't do that. They ridicule and mock the elderly, fathers and mothers. We can't do that. Oppression of the helpless, strangers, and orphans and widows. We cannot do that. Despise holy things of God. We cannot do that. Slander, lewdness, sexual sins, incestuous relationship, rape, adultery, extortion of the innocent. We can't get involved in that. That's so unclean. You know the only way we can do that is forget God. Somebody said, well, how can we get down? How can our nation be? Because they forgot God. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I did a little research and looked up. All of these are the things that they were all guilty of were expressly laid out in Exodus and Leviticus over and over again. Every one of the laws that he dealt with, all the things they were guilty of, you know, all you have to do is look at Exodus and Leviticus and you can find exactly where he said, honor your father and mother. All these things. So,
they was aware of the sins that they defiled. They have walked away from God. When we walk away from God, we head down to the pig pen. And that's what has happened to God's people right here. They knew. Such crime must be punished. We need to know that too. If we participate in such crimes, we're going to be punished for it. Just because it's prolonged, ain't no sign we got away with it. Ezekiel drives home the point that the Jews would not have the physical strength to stand against the enemy by which God would bring judgment upon them. God did not make the Babylonians like that, or the Chaldeans like that, but he knew they was well equipped to carry out his purpose. And he knew that his people could not stand up against their power. And he knew that they was going to bring what they deserve. For what God decrees, he will surely bring to pass. You know what he's decreed for us? A home in heaven with him. Don't never get to the point you don't think it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We got the blessed hope of being with God forever and ever and ever and ever. How long? And ever. How long is forever and ever and ever? The judgment, exile to a foreign land. You know, that would be hard. See your family and your wife and your children separated, and you're going to different places. I can't think of too much that won't happen to me. I could do almost anything as long as it didn't happen to my family. But it's all to have a positive benefit. Dwayne used to tell me, and we're getting into this a little bit. Dwayne is he's dead now. He used to be an elder at 12th Street. He was an older, wise man. And he said, Charlie, we're living in a refined period of life where God lets us endure all this tribulation to get all the impurities out of our life, away from our soul. You say, why? Because that's the only way we can go to heaven. He won't let anything that's not that way. So that's what he does. That's what he does here. And I remember once I was with Dwayne, the young lady. This young lady said, oh, I wish I knew the Bible like you did. She said, I'd give my life for it. Dwayne said, I have. Dwayne said, not knowing what you don't know is not your problem. It's not doing what you do know that you're not doing. And I thought, man, that's pretty strong. But he was an older, wiser man. He was an elder and he could get away with this. And he said, you are saying here, oh, I wish I knew all that. That's not your problem. It says you're not doing what you do know. And I walk away from that and I thought, you know, that's probably... We all probably struggle with that. Not doing what we do know. She took it. If I said that to her, she probably bucked up because I was a lot younger, a lot dumber. But Dwayne did it, and he did it with love, and it went over like it's supposed to. Well, to exile in this foreign land would have a positive benefit. God would not do that if it didn't have a positive benefit. The people of God will be purged of their uncleanness, their sins, and their iniquity. That's what it's for. That's God's purpose. That's what it's for. They will realize that God, who knows the end from the beginning through the calamity and then this calamity to the past, God knows everything. That's God. God knows. This was not be a pleasant experience. God didn't set about to make it a pleasant experience. God set about to do what he wants to do. He wanted to get all the evil out of his people. And this is what God said it's going to take. I'm purifying my people. We're living in a purifying stage now. So tomorrow when something happens to you, don't get upset. I can expect this purifying life. I'm here before I go to heaven. I'm going through this so I can go to heaven. It's not because God is not here. It's not because God is gone. It's not because the devil's in charge. God is still in charge. He said, this is the way I do it. This is the way it's got to be done. I'm God. I know how to get those impurity out of you. So when something happens to it, let it just be that much more showing that God is alive, God is here, God is working, God does love Charlie, God wants all this evil out of Charlie. God wants Charlie to go to heaven. And that might be some of the reason he allows me to go through some of the things I go through. You think about that tomorrow. See if it doesn't make it a little bit easier for you. Ezekiel 22nd chapter, try to get on to the end. The word of the Lord came to me. This is still Ezekiel talking about what God done. Son of man, the house of Israel have become waste, lost. It's no good for nothing. What do? You throw it away. You get rid of it. And all of them are bronze and tin and iron and lead to the furnace. It's just used to burn the furnace down for this refining. They are waste from the silver. See, when you do, you put this oil is in there, gold, silver, and it gets all the impurities out of it, and it's just that waste there part, and just pure silver, pure gold left there, and you throw the rest of it away and use what God wants you to do. That's the beat. See what God's trying to do? That's what he's trying to do. Therefore, thus said the Lord God, because you have all this waste about you, therefore, behold, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. As one gathered the silver and the bronze and the iron and the lead and the tin into the furnace. That's the only thing it's good for. To heat up. To blow the fire on it in order to melt it and get all the impurities out. And you people have a bunch of it, but I'm God and I'm going to get it out of you. So I will gather you in my anger and in my wrath, and I will put you in and melt you. My friends, we want to do it now. We want to get all the impurities out now. We don't want to spend eternity getting it out. Get it out now. He said, I will gather you in my anger and in my wrath, and I will put you in and melt you. I will gather you and blow on you with the fire of wrath, and you shall melt in the midst of it, as silver is melted in a furnace. So you shall be melted in the midst of it. You shall know that I am the Lord. I have poured out my wrath upon you. Let me purify you here now so you don't have to go through this purification throughout eternity. Can you see that? Can you see what God is trying to do? Can you see that God's here? Well, I'm not denying that the devil's here, but what I'm saying, God is here too. I'm not denying the devil don't do everything to us that he possibly can, but I'm saying God does everything for us. And he lets us endure some of the trials and tribulation to get the impurity out of you, Charlie. You're hard-headed, you're stubborn, it takes that. And I want you to be in heaven with me. And you can't be there if all that in there. The exile will plunge you, the faithfulness filthiness from Judah in the smelting process. God knows this is the way I cleanse my people. They once were silver, but now they're just worthless. Oh, I can remember back when my children of Israel, man, they was my prized possession. They're nothing now. Just throw it in the furnace. They're worthless. We don't know part of it. See, God's plan. He knows what to do. He knows how to equip and make Charlie ready for heaven. I don't buck against him. Same thing with the children of Israel. This refining process will begin. It's going to be beginning right now. The wrath and fury of the Lord will be the fire which the world heat and the furnace. God said, I'm behind this. They would know that they have experienced the judgment and the fury of the one true and living God. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it's very important for us to experience it here now, because it's not ever and ever and ever and ever. If I experience it later after the judgment, it's forever. I'll experience it forever. But now, get all this impurity out of it, away from Charlie, away from my people. You come back and he said, oh, yeah, I know you, Charlie. You went through the fire. You got all that junk out of you. You're fit for him. Come on up here forever and ever and ever and ever. And somebody asked me if God's alive and he's still active. You think this country is bad now? You live in a country where God is not alive and active. You don't think he doesn't answer prayer? You go without praying and see how bad it can get. Yes, God is there. He's the wire. He's keeping the devil in check. Let's look at the last part of Ezekiel. This takes us always to the end. And the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not clean. Or rained upon. I guess one thing he's showing here that the rain could be a purity of thing, and you're just like you haven't had no rain. The conspiracy of your prophets in the midst, like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured human lives. They have forsaken the treasure and precious thing. They have made their widows in the midst. Her priests have done violence to the law and have profaned the holy things. They had false prophets that was leading them astray. They had priests. Their leaders was corrupt. You can understand why the people was that away. That's the reason we pray for them. You pray for the leaders. They need help. They have made no distinction between the holy and the common. Can you imagine having leaders that doesn't make any distinction? What kind of life are you going to have? What kind of country are you going to have? What kind of church are you going to have? Neither they have taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have disregarded my Sabbath so that I am profane among them. Her princes in my midst are like wolves and tearing the prey, shedding blood, destroying lives to get dishonest gain. I'm looking out for Charlie. And her prophets have smear a whitewash. We've looked at that whitewash, just kind of temporarily covered up. Whitewash, seeking false vision and divining lies for them, saying, "Thus says the Lord," when the Lord has not spoken. We can go into Bunger right now, and I guarantee you we can see about six denominations saying, "I'm the one." No, you're not. The Lord hadn't told you, Bill, that. But we just go on, let go on. Elders in church, and I'm talking about the church of the Lord, said, "Well, let's do this, do that." Oh, God didn't tell us not to do it, but we'll do it because we're going to dedicate to God. We think it's best. We fill this building up for it. If your leaders get that away, the whole congregation is going to be that away. Back in the 50s, when all the troubles come, you know, most of the congregation went away that. The way the preacher went. That's sad. Larry tell you right now, and Dale will too, 12th Street wouldn't be here if it wasn't for James P. Miller. We were just lucky he was on the right trail.